time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yes.
Next application is case number 11382, the Village at Highway 1 LLC. Site is located east of Route 275A Airport Road at the intersection southwest of Route 1, also referred to as Coastal Highway, and being identified on a tax roll as this tax map ID, District 334, Map 13, Parcel 325.02. Requesting a special use exception to place an off-premise sign and a variance for the height requirement for an off-premise sign. Gentlemen, we did receive two mail returns on this application. The applicant is requesting, seeking a variance from the 25-foot height requirement for the off-premise sign to be 35 feet, being a 10-foot variance from the 25-foot allowable height requirement.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Sure. Doug Motley, 246 Rehoboth Avenue, Rehoboth Beach.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Thank you, members of the board. As you probably know, my name is David Hutt. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown. This evening, I'm representing the applicant, the Village at Highway 1 LLC, which is a Delaware limited liability company which owns the property that is the subject of tonight's application. As you just heard, when he was sworn in, with me tonight is Doug Motley. He's the owner's representative here on behalf of the Village at Highway 1. As Mr. Lank indicated, tonight's application is for an off-premise sign, or billboard as they're colloquially referred to, which pursuant to Sussex County Code Section 115-80 and 115-159-5 requires a special use exception for placement in a C1 zone, and in this for this site also a height variance as will be presented during the application. The first thing I wanted to describe was the property. I'm sure you're all familiar with it. It's at the location of the intersection of Airport Road and County or State Route 1 or Coastal Highway. The property consists of slightly less than half an acre or 20,272 square feet of land that, as I indicated a moment ago, is zoned C1. Currently, the property has two buildings on it that are used commercially. One is the Liquid Surf and Skate Shop, and the other is the Big Chill Surf Cantina. If you look at Exhibit 4 in the notebook, exhibit notebooks that were handed down to you, the first photograph is if you were standing on Route 1 looking directly at the property, which would be looking in a westerly direction. And again, you can see the two commercial sites that are uses that are all being made of the property there. The second photograph is if you were still standing there and you were looking south on Route 1. And then the third photograph is the view if you were to stand in traffic and look north. And you can see that what you would see there. The property is unique for several reasons. First, it's a small commercial piece with a unique shape. We'll be looking at a survey of the property here in a few minutes. I would say that the shape most closely resembles a triangle. However, it is not actually a triangle because one of the sides is curved, and in addition, there's four sides rather than three. Historically, this piece of land was actually this parcel rather was actually an island of land surrounded on both sides by Airport Road. If you turn to Exhibit 7, there's a series of plots from State Highway Project that was done by the University of Delaware. And the first plot shows this area in 1937, and this property would sit right in the middle of the triangle in the upper right-hand portion of that site. And you can see what appears to probably be a structure, although the picture is not the greatest quality compared to today's standards. But that is the site, and as you can see, obviously, for historical purposes, that's why Airport Road is Airport Road, because there used to be an airport there. The next photograph in that series is from 1954, and there you can distinctly see the triangle of land at the intersection of, then it would have been Delaware Route 14, but what we now know as Coastal Highway or Route 1 and Airport Road. And you can see that there's a northern portion, which is wider, and then a southern portion of the road that actually also leads out to Route 1. The next two photographs are, the first one is from 1961. Again, you can see, again, the structures that exist on this triangular-shaped piece of land. The next photograph is from 1968. You can still see the structures that are there. Move forward in time a little bit to 1992, and you can see that a great deal of development has occurred in those years.
Wow.
And you can still see the triangle of land by this point in time. Airport Road does not have its southern prong. It only has what I'll refer to as the northern prong of the road. And you can, of course, see the structures that are on the site there. The last photograph is of that, those historical photographs, is from 1997. And there you can see that there's four structures on this triangular-shaped piece of land. And you can also see the current status of the development of that portion of Route 1. In addition to showing sort of the uniqueness of this piece of property just as far as its shape and its location, those photographs also are significant because they show how long there have been structures on that property. And the buildings have been on that property in some configuration since prior to Sussex County adopting its first zoning code. And that's significant for several reasons, which we'll get into when we talk about the variance. But one of the most significant ones is because under today's modern zoning code, in a commercial area such as this, there's a 60-yard front setback, which, of course, would render the lot unbuildable. There wouldn't be any buildings within the first 60 feet, which would essentially mean that there were no buildings on this site. The village at Highway 1 purchased this property in the year 2004. A copy of their deed to the property is attached as part of the exhibit notebook, which is Exhibit 2. Probably more significant than the deed for tonight's purposes is looking at what the state of the property was in 2004 when the property was purchased. Again, that exhibit is at 3, and as you can see the sort of, again, I'll call it a deformed triangular shape for the property that is there. And on this site plan, you will see that in 2004, there was actually four buildings located on the property. Currently, only two buildings exist on the property, as you saw in the photographs. Two of the other buildings have been removed from the site. Tonight's application, as was indicated, is for an off-premise sign or a billboard. And if you turn to Exhibit 6, you will see the site plan for the proposed billboard and its location. As you know, Sussex County Code has a sign ordinance that tells an individual who owns a property that is commercially zoned how they could go about placing a sign on their property. There are, in general, six requirements. First, there a special use exception has to be granted by the board, which is part of the application tonight. In addition, there can be no dwellings, churches, schools, or additional off-premise signs within 300 feet of the proposed sign. The proposed sign must be a minimum of 25 feet from the front property line and 50 feet from side property lines. The proposed sign cannot be larger than 600 square feet with a maximum of 300 feet on any one side or one facing. And in addition, the proposed sign should be have a maximum height of 25 feet. Tab 6 is an 11 by 17 plot. Stuck into each notebook was also a 24 by 36 of the same plot to make it easier to see and read some of the smaller dimensions and measurements that are shown on that plot. Each of the requirements, except for the height requirement, is met in this application. And if you turn to Exhibit 5, you'll see actually an overlay showing the surveyed site and then the numerous requirements that are required in the statute. The first page of Exhibit 5, which at the bottom says site plan, contains what the site or what this area currently looks like from an aerial imagery with the 300-foot radius imposed on it. As you can see, there are no dwellings, schools, or other signs within 300 feet. If you look to the right, which would be sort of southwest, you can see that the closest home, which would be a part of the Camelot manufactured home community is actually 336 feet away, and there are no churches within this area or schools. In addition, if you look to the north, which would actually be to the left of the photograph, you'll see that the closest off-premise sign is located 763 feet away. That sign actually sits right in front of the seashell shop. That's the big blue roof that you see there on the photograph, and you can sort of see the, if you look to the south of that, the golf course, miniature golf course that is there. And actually, if you look at tab 8, those are photographs of the nearest off-premise sign, both the left on the right. On the left, you'll see the sign that's in front of the seashell shop, and on the right is the sign that's across the street, which is generally in front of a bank, but right north of the giant shopping center. The proposed sign, as you can see on the survey, is 43 feet from the front yard setback on Route 1. In talking about this with the Planning and Zoning Office, Mr. Lank in particular, we discussed whether or not this property actually has any side yards, as there is a frontage on Airport Road and then frontage on Route 1. But regardless, it is even further from Airport Road than it is from Route 1, thus it would meet that setback as well, as it is approximately, according to the surveyors, it's not shown on the survey, but it's approximately 120 feet from Airport Road at the closest point and 43 feet from Route 1.
Can I interrupt you there? That's the 50-foot requirement?
Yes, that's the side yard setback.
And Mr. Lang said what?
That the property does not have a side yard. It has two front yards and a rear.
Front yard and a corner front and a rear.
Okay.
The rear being Airport?
No, the rear is being the abandoned Airport Road, which is now private property. The side being the corner, which is Airport Road, and the front being Route 1.
Gotcha.
The Airport Road originally went across the rear, and it was abandoned. And it's actually probably part of this property and part of their property to the rear.
So you're making the 25, and based on what Mr. Lank just said, the 50 foot is?
Correct.
Okay, there. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry.
In addition, the proposed sign, what's shown on the survey is 10 by 30, a more. And another common size for a sign of this nature is 12 by 25, which is the same 300 square feet. And a north facing and a south facing, which would be a total of 600 square feet, which would match the sign ordinance. As was indicated at the outset, this is a two-part application. First, there's a special use application, a special use exception application. As has been stated a couple times tonight, the standard for that is that it will not substantially affect adversely the uses of adjacent and neighboring properties. As you saw when we looked at the history of the development of this, Route 1 is a very well-developed commercial corridor, and there are numerous commercial enterprises that are along this road. It has been established that way since at least 1992, when we saw in the photograph, but since before then as well. And it is consistent with a commercial use, as is indicated by the fact that these are permitted in the C1 and CR1 zoning classifications for Sussex County. And in addition, as the board is familiar with, there are numerous other off-premise signs or billboards situated along both sides of Route 1. With respect to its impact on the properties, the applicant wanted the sign setback that where it is on the site so that it would lessen the impact on the existing commercial uses on its own site, as well as not interfere with line of sight up and down the highway. As you can see, there is actually a marquee sign on the site itself, which is shown in the left-hand corner of the triangle, actually where it's missing a corner, the smashed corner. And that sign is approximately 21 feet in height. And immediately to the south of the property, there's another marquee sign, which is situated right along Route 1. And that sign is also 25 feet in height. The second request before the board tonight is for a variance from the 25-foot height requirement that's found in the sign ordinance. As shown on the site plan, there are two buildings on the site. The one is 22 feet, a little over 22 feet. The other one is approximately 23 feet. As I mentioned a moment ago, 300 square foot signs are generally speaking either 10 by 30 or 12 by 25. If it was with the height of these buildings, this would mean that you would only be able to see the top 2 feet of the sign. Thus, the request tonight is to raise the top of the height, or the maximum height for the sign, rather, so that it would be at 35 feet. And then, regardless of whether it was a 12 by 25 or a 10 by 300 sign, it would be above the sight lines of those buildings. The five factors for granting a variance, the first one is uniqueness. As was indicated earlier, and as you can see by looking at these exhibits, the lot has both unique physical circumstances and unique zoning circumstances. This lot it's a small commercial lot, and it is oddly shaped and has been, as you saw, throughout its history. Its unique zoning circumstances are, of course, that under today's zoning code, those two buildings wouldn't exist in the front yard setback, and thus you're trying to work around something because the zoning code anticipates that you'll have buildings setback 60 feet and signs within the front yard setback and not have the buildings and the signs competing with each other. That is not possible on this site based on the conditions and the uniqueness of the lot. The second factor is whether or not it can otherwise be developed or is necessary to enable the reasonable use of the property. And as was shown, this is a variance that is necessary for this reasonable use of the property. There are many other signs along Route 1 that the board has considered before. The third factor is whether or not it's created by the applicant. And this conflict or contention between the zoning code principles was not created by the applicant. These buildings have been here since, it appears 1937, but for sure you can see it from at least 1954. The fourth factor is whether or not it will alter the essential character of the neighborhood. As was mentioned a moment ago, it is consistent with this commercial area of Route 1 to have commercial uses as well as on-premise and off-premise signs. This sign would not substantially or permanently impair the use or development of this or adjacent properties, and it's not detrimental to the public welfare. The fifth factor is whether or not this is the minimum variance that will afford relief. And the highest, the building height for the structure on the southern side of this triangle is 23 feet. If you have a 300 square foot sign and it's 12 by 25, if you add 12 feet to that to make the bottom of the sign the top of the building, you of course come to 35 feet. Thus, it is the minimum variance that would afford the relief sought so that the sign is above the roof line of the building. Mr. Motley, you've heard the presentation I made to the board. Was everything I stated true and correct?
Yes.
That concludes my presentation. If any of the board members have any questions, we'd be happy to answer them, or Mr. Motley, if he's able to answer them as well.
Are there any questions from members of the board? We'll start down there with you, Mr. Mills.
Yes. Mr. Hodge, is this a monopole structure?
It will be a monopole structure, and that will be the significance of that, of course, is that you end up with an engineered base and a full set of engineered drawings for storm and wind ratings.
No other questions. Thank you.
Mr. Hudson?
No questions.
Mr. Rickards?
Mr. Rudd, when your client looked into the height, okay, and you knew that these buildings were 23, did you advise him that, that the county is at 25 feet and we try for some reason that you've got to convince us that a variance on 25 feet is okay, permissible, and convince us of that?
Yes, those factors were taken into consideration, and the billboard on this site would be right at obviously the same height as the buildings.
But you knew this when your client asked for the billboard there. You knew that you'd have to go up.
That's correct. That was okay. Part of the plan was that, they went out and measured all the heights of they surveyed the site and then took the additional step of having the heights of the buildings and the surrounding structures measured to determine what that height would need to be so that you could actually see a billboard.
You knew you were going to meet at 159 except for the height. 115, 159, the ordinance.
Correct, once the survey was completed.
All the distances and things like that, except for the height.
Correct.
Mr. Morgan?
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
Explain to me why you don't think it'll have an adverse effect on the neighborhood. There's a firehouse to your left that's being built, very, very big home. There are towers around there. There are other billboards around there. There are marquees all over the place. Why do you feel that this won't, based on what?
That it won't, that the height won't adversely affect?
No, that the sign itself won't have an adverse effect on the neighborhood.
Because it's consistent with...
I'm going to be worried, 300 feet, you know, that's big.
It's 30 feet.
Yeah, I understand. But a square feet is square footage.
Simply, there's many signs, and many of the signs along Route 1 are substantially larger than this sign. This is an accepted use within the C1 zoning classification. Those things were taken into account. For instance, the marquee signs, we wanted to be above those as well so that they wouldn't impact the other marquee signs. Del Dot has a 90-foot pole right to the north of this, and it will obviously not impact that, and it's substantially lower than that 90-foot pole. The other structures that are in that area are all commercial structures, which is, again, why I believe Sussex County has put or allowed off-premise signs only in the commercial context, because that is what the county council has deemed as the appropriate place to have these signs.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Morgan?
Yeah, has he got the billboards rented out yet?
The billboard is not rented out yet. That would be a little presumptuous on our part that there's going to be a billboard there. However, there are numerous local businesses that have indicated that if we have a billboard there, they will have rent space on it. And the Village at Highway 1 the principals of that have several local businesses which are not on this site, so they will be able to advertise their own businesses on that and their own site, on that, their own billboards.
That's what we've been looking at from the county, a lot of empty signs. And I think we're trying to get it's a little bit difficult, but get the signs rented out before you get your permit to put the sign. Because of the empty signs and everything else like that, I think it should be rented out before, you know, before you start that.
If Mr. Motley may be able to address that, then.
Okay. Yeah. Within the affiliates of our organization, we have a number of billboards, and not one of them is empty, so I'm confident that...
have no problem. We said if we did approve this,
it would likely be an affiliated company that would advertise were an opportunity. You know,
you couldn't start it until you had it.
Yeah, that'd be perfectly fine.
Okay. Any further? This is a question for you, Mr. Lank. How many height variances have been approved in that immediate area of higher than 25 feet?
I'd have to research the printout. It would take a while because you're talking about a large area. Yeah, there's a couple of those signs show in the picture.
I know that. I just of
yeah,
that height.
The picture they showed, there's signs that are higher than 25. Reading those two pictures that in part of that exhibit.
I think I recall somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 on Route 1 that from the last request that we had.
Mm-hmm. The difficulty of the ordinance, the difficulty of the printout is it just references the variance in the height. That doesn't necessarily mean there's a variance with the song.
Mr. Hutt, I'm sorry, different attorney. You had suggested that it, because of the shallowness or uniqueness of the property, the buildings would otherwise be 60 feet back, and then the need for the additional height would probably not be needed. Is that correct?
That's correct. If the buildings complied with the setbacks, which they can't because there's not 60 feet of depth, but the buildings would be at 60. The code anticipates sort of an orderly process of signs along a road, off-premise signs behind marquee signs, and then a building behind that.
Right.
And, of course, because of how the development of this lot occurred and its uniqueness, that couldn't have happened.
So the heights of those buildings are really which are you're determined or not, how should I say, you're putting your hat in the ring saying that you do not, you aren't creating the hardship. Is that what you're saying, that these buildings are there, so that's the reason you're not creating this hardship? You're not creating it.
Correct. The buildings were, and the buildings were put there before there was a zoning code that said you had to be 60 feet back. So the building code, I mean, the hardship was not created by the applicant placing structures there and then saying, now I'd like a, you know, first I want to have a variance to put my buildings too close to the road, and now I want a variance for the height of my sign. The buildings are there. They have been there since the 1950s or 30s, it looks like, for one of them. And thus, trying to comply with today's standards, where they want signs closer to the road and not within the midst of the buildings, can't be done because there's no way to have a sign on this site. I guess you could put it closer to the road, but then you interfere even more with all the other marquee signs, and that's not really what's anticipated by the code.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Are there any further questions? Okay, hearing no further questions. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Sir, do you wish to come forward? Sworn in.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Sanford Lee Hazard, 36020 Airport Road, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
I'm Sanford Hazard. My business is at 36020 Airport Road, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. I am adjacent to the property that is trying to put this billboard up. I feel that what they're trying to do, this you have the site plan in front of you, this little plot of land, it's like overtaxed right now with two businesses on it. Doesn't have sufficient parking. It's overshadowing my sign that's going to be within probably 40 feet from the existing sign that they're trying to put up. I've been there for 30 years, been in business for 30 years. I think it's going to overshadow my land, my business sign, and my business. I feel that, I know that one building on there has been there since in the 30s, but if you look at that plan, that road that was abandoned by the state or the county, that's my road, okay? And the sign that they're gonna put up, even though they don't have the square footage by the setbacks that are on there now, I feel that I just can't see how it's gonna not be on my property, okay? Or, so you can't see my business and my business sign, so. I feel that the LLC, Village of Highway 1, has enough with the two businesses on there that with this sign, I think it's just going to overtax and be detrimental to everybody around it. Okay?
All right.
I feel that this commercial property makes enough that they don't really need the sign. Even though it doesn't meet the setbacks, I just strongly feel that it's going to make an impact that with the fire company, me, that we just don't need.
Would you say the special use exception that they're going for will affect adversely the uses of the adjacent and neighboring properties?
Yes.
Thank you.
Sir, how high is your sign? How high is your sign?
I think 25 feet, whatever the requirement is. And plus, Kentucky Fried Chicken's right next door, which is vacant right now, but they're having somebody move. They're getting a long-term lease on it, so I don't think they were aware, they didn't get a letter from the county, so. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Is there anyone else? Hearing no other opposition, chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, if the other members would agree, I'd like to table case number 11,382 to review the material and consider the application a little more.
To the next regular meeting?
Yes.
Okay, do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
Okay, I got a motion by Mr. Hudson and a second by Mr. Rickards that we table case number 11,382 until our next regular meeting, which will be on May the 5th, to review the materials. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Mills?
Aye.
Mr. Hudson?
Aye.
Mr. Rickards?
Aye.
Mr. Workman?
Aye.
Mr. Callaway? Aye. So by a vote of 5-0, case number 11,382 has been tabled. Okay, into our next regular meeting.